Sien dat almal kak maak in die land. Tres en my, ons doen die ene vir jou. Cheers.
Tres en my. Ek kan nie glo na al die jare, al ons blonde hare, jy het so mooi gesorg vir ons blondies rondom my. Tres en my. Daai rooi kabouters is so klom barbare, toe het kliks en die koekare jou raak gerei. Tres en my. Ons aagte wit haare maak my moer so groot skare, die gekookte haare nie bedoel vir jou en my. Tres en my. Daai gekookte haare wat al was net seep en jou vir alles blameer. Tres en my. Tres en my, onthou jy hoe ons lekker lag om te sien hoe hulle daar die koeke was, maar jou sagte wit shampoo is vir my bedoel. Hulle dans en verwoes nou al die kliks, maar kliks is BEE level 6. Hulle maak al eie naam gat en al eie werkloos. Dres en my. Ek kan nie glo na al die jare, al ons blonde hare, jy het so mooi gesorg vir ons blondies rondom my. Dres en my. Daai rooi kabouters is so klom barbare, toe het kliks en die koekare jou raak gerei. Dres en my. Ons aagte wit haare maak my moer so groot skade, die gekookte haare nie bedoel vir jou en my. Dres en my. Daai gekookte haare wat al was met seep en jou vir alles blameer. Dres en my.
Pree word my trots geborg deur want ek is boer.
Hey folks, welcome back to Ntab Africa. This is Chris coming to you live once again from Central Pennsylvania. Well, for all you blondies out there, whether you're natural or it comes from peroxide, welcome to the channel. That was Tresemme from Dupree van Heerden. He'll be my guest here in just a moment. But let me welcome everybody wherever you find yourself around the world, whether you find yourself on the Emerald Isle of Ireland, maybe out there in the Gaeltacht, or maybe down in Killarney. Are you up there in the Gaeltacht above Galway? Well, welcome to you. Speaking your Irish, and none of us are understanding what you're saying if you're speaking Irish, but welcome to the channel, folks, and glad to have everyone along with us today. My special feature guest on the Saturday live stream is Dupree van Heerden. I'm going to welcome him right now, and here you go. So, Dupree, welcome to the channel. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Chris Wyatt from America. What an honor.
I have my earpiece out there. You're going to get a little back feed. Sorry about that, folks. It's in now. I got all excited about Tresemme there. I forgot that my earpiece wasn't plugged in.
How are you, Chris?
I'm going well. It's actually quite busy. You know, I don't know if you heard about this, Dupree, but we have this little election going on Tuesday. It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can think about that, John.
Yeah, Donald Trump against evil. That's the bottom line. It's Donald Trump versus evil.
Yeah. No, well, go Donald.
Exactly. Well, listen, welcome to the channel. A number of people kept asking me to get you on the channel, interview you, and I'm like, who? No, I'm just kidding. I knew who that was. But they said, let's get Dupree van Heerden on the channel. And I said, well, I tell you, I've had some good luck early getting Afrikaans musical performers on the channel. And then I've had a dry streak lately. I haven't got return calls and starting to wonder if people watch my channel too much and said, I don't want to be on that channel. No, I'm just kidding.
That's actually cool. Yeah, got the right jersey on, so that's cool.
Well, there you go. Everybody knows my trademark.
That jersey is amazing.
My trademark is, of course, I wear a rugby jersey on all my live streams. And so this is a Bulls jersey, of course. There you go.
Yes.
Got the, I agree, that was a supporter there.
I agree, yes.
And then, of course, Super Rugby. So, yeah, I like this one because of the dots across the top. It's kind of cool. It has a nice look to it.
That is cool. Yeah. That's a cool jersey.
Yeah. Also, it's got the Vodacom. I tell you, people want me to wear a Sharks jersey, but for a long time, I refused to buy a Sharks jersey because it had that stupid Mr. Price on it. Not wearing a jersey advertised in a store that sounds like a tire or smells like a tire factory 300 meters away from the entrance. You ever notice that?
Yeah. But you can't wear something else. You must wear boots. Boots, for sure.
Well, I mean, it's what I try to do. I try to generally wear a rugby jersey for where my guest is from or which team they support. So, yeah. Now, I don't have a Southern Kings. I had Bram van Straten on the channel recently. He's right now in Bermuda for the Bermuda Tens tournament taking place. But the Southern Kings, of course, just folded up. They went bankrupt. They're being liquidated. And I don't have a Kings jersey because I never really had any interest in the Kings. But Bram has gotten me a Kings jersey. So if there's one or two Kings fans out there, I'll have that jersey and I will wear that once it gets here in the mail. So he's in Bermuda and he's sent that to me. So as soon as it gets here, I'll try it out. But anyway, so I tend to wear these jerseys for the folks wherever they're from and who they support, which means I wear the Bulls jerseys quite a bit.
Yeah, but what if I was a Shark fan now?
Well, I'd have a Shark jersey on. I have a Sharks jersey.
But you wouldn't have known it.
Well, I would have asked you ahead of time, but you told me. Well, that does happen sometimes. You have people from Pretoria.
Yeah, it does.
You have some people from Pretoria who actually weren't dropped on their head a lot as a small child, and so they're the fans of the right team, Western Province. I'm a Province fan, so.
Oh, okay. No. Keep the jersey on, please, Chris.
Actually, I have a lot of them. I even have the pink one, the breast cancer awareness one. I have that one as well for the Bulls.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I looked at that on TV and I'm like, oh, that's horrible. Then I was at Loftus and I went to the store there. I'm like, hey, it doesn't look that bad. I'll get one. So I got it. So I've been wearing it ever since.
Yeah, actually, I had a song about that in 2012.
Did you?
My Treyer Pink, My Bluetooth Blow.
I'll have to check that one out. I don't know that song. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, that's quite cool. But it's on the CD. I must put it back on iTunes, I think.
There you go. That's good. So let's talk about this. So you are an Afrikaans performer. You're a musical singer. Have you been doing this your entire life or did you just start doing it at some point?
No, I've been doing it my entire life, on and off. Let's say casual. I like recording artists. That's quite cool. When you're singing about everything that's going on in South Africa, well, explaining everything is the truth. What I put on my songs is the truth. There's no lies. Like Theresa May, it's the truth. It was bloody funny, but it's the truth.
No, it is funny. Let's talk about Theresa May in a second. But before I get there, Jenny Gaia said, Chris, your head is cut off. I thought she was talking about the stream, but I'm looking and my head is fine. I think she means my head is cut off because I'm a Western Province fan. That must be what it is.
Yeah.
No, but I'll be fair. I do have a soft spot for the Bulls as well. I mean, look, Victor Matfield played there. Brian Habana played there. Fury Dupuyer played there. Bakis Bota. Yeah, exactly. Victor Matfield should be on the channel sometime soon. Once he's on, I know I'll be able to get Bakis on the channel. So I'd love to get Bakis on here. He's epic. He's the guy you got to get on the channel. So, yeah, but I'm looking forward to that. So, Trezeme, let's talk about this. For those who don't know, last month you released a song called Trezeme. And for those not familiar, let me just do the quick rundown. Trezeme is a hair products company, makes shampoo, of course. And they had an advert that had a picture of white ladies talking about soft, gentle hair. And a picture of a black lady saying if you have broken, kinky, you know, damaged hair. And they showed the black woman. Now, Trezeme is a third party. Clicks, which is a pharmacy or a chemist, as people say in the UK and South Africa, where you can buy hair products and go and get your medication, buy your prescription, things like that. So Clicks, which is the biggest in South Africa, they had their website. And someone that works for the company went there and put this ad on there to advertise, you know, Trezeme. And within a few hours, someone realized what a mistake they'd made, that this was politically incorrect and it was probably insulting to some people. So Clicks apologized. They pulled it down immediately and they issued an apology. But of course, the domestic terrorists masquerading as a political party, also known as the Economic Freedom Fighters, they decided it was time to get into action. So their exalted buffoon-in-chief, I'm sorry, he's the commander-in-chief, but I call him the buffoon-in-chief, one Julius Malema there, he decided to tell his fighters from the Economic Freedom Fighters to go out and damage Clicks stores. 44 Clicks locations around South Africa were damaged, including petrol bombing at one spot, smashing of doors, breaking down windows, terrorizing customers who had gone to buy their prescription drugs, their life necessary, you know, for their health, couldn't get their drugs because they're being threatened by these thugs, in an orgy of violence and millions and millions and millions of dollars of damage. No criminal charges filed against Julius Malema for inciting this domestic terrorism and this violence. Nothing happened. And so a lot of people lost their mind. I find it now, Dupuyer, I don't know if you watch the channel before, but my audience is very eclectic. I have all kinds of people to watch it. About 65% are South Africans. but the rest are about 20% USA and the rest are around the world. And my audience is comprised of white folks and black folks and color folks and Indians. Yeah. But there's a lot of colors who watch my channel, and they just shaking their head about this. Like, what is wrong with these people? My hair is like that. What are you talking about? I know black folks, like, my hair is like that. Why are you offended? So whether people were offended or not is one issue. And I think Clix did the right thing. They pulled it down because people didn't like it, and they're very quick about it. So I'm not unhappy with Clix. But then the economic freedom fighters threatened Clix. They said, you must shut down for this number of days or we will do this. And Clix said, no, we're not going to shut down. And so they terrorized their stores. Now, in response after that, you did this video, which we just played, Tresemme, which has got a catchy tune. It's awesome. I like it. For those who don't speak Afrikaans, you were talking about issues with Tresemme. But wait a second. Isn't Clix BEE level 6 certified? And for my international audience, that's broad-based black economic empowerment, which means you have majority owned. So most of the ownership is black South African. So a black South African.
Even the guy who did the ad.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who placed the ad was black. The company is majority black owned, and they attacked them because they called them racist against their own. Now you can be racist against your own folk. I mean, but that's a pretty unusual situation. But the implication was that it was white people who were denigrating the dignity of black people, which was a complete lie. And so you made this video. Tell us why you made the video. I might have just explained why, but tell us why.
Yes, Chris, that was funny. When I saw this, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what's happening to Clix, and even that Clix didn't do anything about this and even funded the scholar system for them, for the EFF, helping them with scholar funds or something like that. That was pathetic to me. So I talked to Jomri and tell her, listen, let's write a song about this because this is going to be funny. And a lot of people laughed about this because the shampoo is just amazing. And like Jomri, she's using a Tresemme for the rest of her life, like she told you. And put it with a song, put the words in, and it just boomed. I think it went in 3 days, 300,000 views on my Facebook. Wow. Yeah, it just boomed. Well, it was funny. I like writing about stuff that's happening in South Africa. If there's something happening to the farmers, I like to write it like it is. Like I read it, like I see it on TV. That's why I explain. That's why I do it. So they can do nothing against me because I'm not lying. This is the truth. This is what I see. This is what everybody sees. This is what I put in a song. And I make it funny or I make it sad. There's only two sides about it.
Now, you're talking about Jomri. That's your fiance who appears in the video with that incredibly long hair. That got everybody's attention.
Yeah, yeah. You can say hello to her.
Is she there? You can say hello to her. Hey, there she is.
Hello.
Hey, how's it? Whoops. How's
I'm
it?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. There's that. There's the hair that's become so famous. People are loving that hair.
Yeah. Let's rub it in, Chris. Let's rub it in. Rub it in.
No, not Tresemme. That's... Hostile work environment. Cancel the stream. Actually, that happened to me recently, Dupre. I don't know if you know, but we're sponsoring a Swiss yodeling group called Usch die Dritten. They yodel. They're huge in Europe, but they're known in South Africa. People don't know their name because it's difficult for Afrikaners to pronounce the German Usch die Dritten. We're sponsoring a concert tour of them coming to South Africa in October, November. And so someone said, hey, can you play one of their songs? And I made the mistake of putting up on the screen and playing their current song that just came out like 2 months ago. And so this has never happened to me before. Right in the middle of the song, about a minute and a half in, my stream just got canceled. I just got dropped. And 150 people watching the stream, and the stream was just stopped. I'm like,
oh, no.
Copyright. What?
No. Serious.
Pretty crazy stuff. So did you guys write the song together, or do you write the songs yourself, Dupre?
I write the songs myself, and then, obviously, Jomri has a day job. She's not a lucky guy like me. So then I send it to her. I write a song about 10, 15 minutes. That's how long it takes for me to write a song.
Wow.
Then I send it to her through. She checks it out. She says, okay, you change this, do this, and then go back. And then, like I said, I've got a main sponsor that's always sponsoring me, everything, all my songs. Her name is Audrey Barnes, big businesswoman in Joburg's area. And I send it to her as well, because her name is not a business's name, but her own name. It's always with the songs. And they tell me, okay, listen, we can get a bit of trouble here, trouble there. If it's a bit hectic, then I send it to the attorney. And they say, all right, no, listen, we can go here. There's nothing wrong with this. Because this is actually what happened. You're writing about stuff that's happening.
No, it's actually, I think it's a good point you make there. Because in South Africa, you got to be careful. I mean, if you're not a South African, even South Africans, you don't have freedom of speech in South Africa. It may say that you have freedom of speech in your constitution, but you don't. Because you can be in prison for speech. I mean, if you use the K word, you can wind up in jail as a felon. Look at Vicky Momberg. yeah, your life could be destroyed. And also, South Africa is a place where people are all too easily running to the court to file a criminal injuria if you slander them. And if you don't have information to back up what you say, you could wind up in the court in a lot of trouble. So it's even more shocking why Juju isn't in prison, because he's doing criminal injury against millions of South Africans every day, every time he opens his mouth.
And he can say, do this, burn down the farms, do this, do that. Nothing is happening to him, nothing.
No, it's absolutely crazy. So, I know we've got you on here, Dupree, to talk about your musical career, but I'm sorry, I'm being a little bit of a fanboy here because she's in the video. How long have you been growing that hair? I mean, that's not a weekend project.
No, I've had long hair since I was a child.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, did it make it easy?
I just maintain it.
It's long. Look at it. Doesn't end. Look at
this. No, it's incredible.
It doesn't end. You can do it like this as well. So.
Yeah, look, I don't know if you know the television show, The Munsters, we had here in America. The Munsters back in the 60s, they had Cousin It. It was nothing. It was all hair, a little short dude. It was just all you saw was the hair. So it reminds me of that. But so with that long hair as a child, I guess that made it easy for the naughty boys to pull your hair a lot when you were in class.
I wouldn't let them.
Oh, okay.
I protect them.
Now, what about you? Are you a Boormeisie? Are you a farm girl?
No, we lived on a farm for quite some time as when I was a child, but now we live in the city.
No, but I mean, did you grow up as a farm? Were you a Boormeisie?
Yeah. And we do have a huge passion for the farmers and what's happening now in South Africa.
No, it's horrific. We'll talk some more about that as we get into the stream here. But it's truly horrific. That's one of the things I've been covering a lot. Of course, you guys probably don't know this. I was in the Army for a long time, and so I was an intelligence officer, and I can't just run around saying things all the time. So until I retired, I really couldn't speak out about these issues publicly. Now, I did it, you know, behind closed doors with diplomats and with generals and presidents and stuff like that. And hopefully that had some influence. But the way things are going now, I don't know if that influence was effective at all. But anyway, yeah. So now I speak out publicly about it and people are paying attention, which is good, especially outside of South Africa. We need to let people know. The world must know what's happening in South Africa. The world must know.
Nobody knows about what's happening yet.
No, they seem completely oblivious to it, which is now this year you might have an excuse because of the political hysteria over the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19. The Rona has deceived the world and everybody's attention's on that. But let's get back to your music. So the Tresemme thing, 15 minutes to write it. She edited it. Did she take out some of the, did you put some profanity in it? Did you put some?
She goes over the words. Yeah. Send it to her and then audit it. Go over the words and say, okay, listen, this is fun. Let's do this. This is going to be fun.
What did you put some like?
No, to make the song. Seriously, to make the song takes me about, because I've got my own recording studio, it takes me about 2-3 hours to record the song, to make the whole song with my drums and my bass guitar and everything. And the video, that video was made in our house and in the studio as well. And that also took about a day. Yeah. Well, let's say less than 2 days, song release, boom, there it goes.
Oh, that's awesome. But my question was, is about that, is that when she edits it, do you use like naughty words? You use profanity and she's like, no, you can't say that. You can't say that.
I thought so. When I'm going to the government side, she pulls me a bit back and says, listen, you're going to be naughty. Come back, mister.
Yeah, exactly.
Directing at someone and then I'm like, I can't do that.
No, you got to be really careful with that because you get yourself in trouble. But as long as you keep it neutral, you're in good shape there. That's always a good point. Well, it's always good to have a good soundboard there. You know, I write a lot. Of course, I taught university, undergraduate, postgraduate, and I'm a published author. And it's always good to have someone with a second set of eyes look at it. And for me, it's always good if it's someone that doesn't know anything about it. Now, she knows about your music, but I mean, if you take your lyrics and hand it to somebody that doesn't know anything about it, they'll be like, And then you'll know if your message is coming across, because if they know nothing about the topic and they get your message, then you know you've struck home. So, So what about the music itself? I mean, do you play instruments? Or you have any instruments you do? Guitar or anything?
Yeah, I play drums, I play guitar, I play bass guitar, I play with the banjo, I play piano. I think it's 7. But not a master in them. I can play them. I can record them and I can make songs with them, yeah.
So Jenny Geyers asked the question, have you had any bad comments regarding the Tresemme song? I would imagine you've had a few bad comments on Facebook. That's the nature of Facebook.
No.
Oh, really?
No, I can't recall one.
Wow.
I can't recall one. Even, let me tell you something. In South Africa, it's always between black and white, and so it's not nice going on here. But even the colored people said, listen, this was awesome. This was just out of the books. And the English speaking and the like Afrikaans song, this is just cool.
Well, one of my big time, long time viewers is Robin. She's from Western Cape. She's colored, and she made a video on TikTok, and she's like, "What's all this? It's really hilarious. What's all this nonsense about Theresa May? She's not singing. She's just playing a song in the background. She's like, she's just pointing stuff like, and she writes words like, I go there all the time. Look at my hair. I mean, they sell hair products because the argument was they don't sell natural hair products for African hair. Clicks is full of that stuff. Clicks is full of those products. And she's like, yeah, look at Clicks. They sell this. They sell this. They sell this. She went to the shelves in the store. The whole thing is just utter political nonsense by a bunch of buffoons trying to gain political advantage. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
So there's a question here. Ginaldo Rose said, what inspired you to become a singer-songwriter? Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, my mom was in singing when I was small. I think 4 or 5 years old, she went to concerts. She was a backing vocalist for a lady called Cora Marie at that time. And so we went on tour, and yeah, that's where it started. So I started with choir in school. In high school, I stopped it because you weren't cool if you were singing. This was now the girls won't like you. Must play rap. You can't sing. Because, yeah. So I stopped it. And then at 21, started again. So when I did my singing, I did it in the shower. I did it at home when no girls saw me. Because the cool guys were playing rap. You can't sing. That's not cool.
That's so ironic because there was a segment of the cool guys when I was in high school who were like in rock bands. That was the thing to be. You were rockers. And of course, back in those days, a few years before me, because they're a few years ahead of me, but you'd have Journey and you have all these different groups come out because they played in high school. If they hadn't played in high school, they would never have been, you know, multimillionaires and huge successes. So, but you, you and I had a kind of a similar path. Unfortunately, we diverged. I have no singing talent whatsoever, absolutely zero. But I did sing. I sang. I had quite a good voice. I was in the church choir, and then puberty hit. And that was the end of that. I couldn't sing anymore.
No. I started at 21. So did pubs till I was 28 years old, and then had a business, left it. And then 2012, started a bit again, writing, recording, left it again. And then in 2018, I thought, oh, well, let's just do the recording artist stuff because I love it. I just want to put everything out there. Well, that's happening around us. I think it was more about the farmers and that stuff. Not everybody wants to sing about it in South Africa. You must understand this because they don't want their name connected to the government and all of that stuff, using words and talking about farmers. They want to sing about Leify Leify and yes, my baby, baby, and that stuff. But what I do is I sing about the farmers, what's happening, what's really happening in South Africa. And that's what inspired me about 2017, 2018 with all the farm matters.
No, I got you. But to be fair, I mean, you know, there's a place for that. I mean, I enjoy Kalfit Silky.
There's
a place for that stuff, but you're right. In fact, one of the songs that I've enjoyed the most has come out recently is the song that has Bobby von Jarsfeld and Bok von Blair, Steve Hofmeyr,
Die Land
behut dann ja. That's just that song is so powerful. It's so amazing. It's so well done. And also Bok von Blair has done some of these songs like Sing Afrikaans Sing and Tied Om Te Trek, you know, and of course, you know, famously De La Rey. Those are all songs that also have a political angle to them and also talk about political events in South Africa. So is that now like a major focus of your music or just a part of the music you do?
I think that'll be a major. What we actually talked about yesterday, what was yesterday? Yesterday was Friday. When he talked about with the sponsor, Audrey, and I told her, listen, let's get 4 or 5, there are 2 males and 2 females, musicians that nobody knows of.
Yeah.
They aren't famous. Let's put them in a song. Let's write another former song, a South Africa song, and give them some airtime. Let's do that with 5, like they did with Beland. And let's do it like this, get sponsors and I'm not going to stop there. What's happening with the farmers is happening with the farmers. I'm going to put it in my songs and it's going to stay there. And that's what I'm going to do.
Well, I think actually, to be honest with you, I think that's kind of what we need right now is we need a song talking about that's uplifting and not just entirely sad, but one that also points out the horrors that are unfolding in rural South Africa right now. That would with a great sound to it and some great voices behind it. I think that would be amazing. Die Land, I think, was amazing just because, you know, we're talking about the land issue. and also the ties to the land. That was really powerful. It evoked a lot of emotion. Del Rey, of course, when it came out, evoked a lot of emotion. And actually, I think it's as apropos today as it was then. The Afrikaner people, the Boers, who are you looking to for leadership these days when so many people come forward and claim to be leaders, yet there doesn't seem to be a single voice?
Yeah. So, listen, I can't stand in front of people and tell them, listen, you must do this. I can put it in music. I can write a song, let them listen to it and say, listen, this is quite cool. We should do what this the song is all about. Stand together, work together. That's what we're writing about. So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. Actually, to share with you, a lot of my stream, what I talk about is that, you know, is a lot of people, and you said something a little while ago, which I think is very important. You said, you know, it's this black-white thing, which isn't cool, because it's really nonsense at the base of it. I mean, the idiots are a relatively small number of people who have political influence and power who are damaging things. It's not most South Africans. So when people are talking about getting the ANC out of power in South Africa, I'm like, it's a lot easier than you think, especially in the 2021 municipal elections. It's very possible to get them out. There's 12 million tobacco users in South Africa who are hotful and pissed off at the ANC because they took tobacco away and had to buy dodgy cigarettes from gangsters and pay four times the price. You think those people are going to be happy to vote for the ANC? Now, people are like, well, they'll forget about it by 2021. Not if you're out reminding them of it every single day now and warning them it can happen again. Plus, all the people who couldn't get to their drink, you know, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of South Africans love their Castle Lager, Chibuku. They enjoy drinking.
Brandewijn, Chris Brandewijn.
Exactly. Brandy. There you go. Brandy, too. Exactly. Well, I have a favorite brandy. It's Asbach Wald, which is from Germany. Very, very famous brandy. I used to drink that quite a bit. They come in these massive bottles. They tip them upside down in the bar, and they're like 4 liters or something like that. It's huge. Yeah. Well, obviously not for a single consumption there, Dupre. That's in the bar, you know. Yeah, but along those lines, what I tell people, I said, listen, because you know, these people are always like, there's some people like, you know, hotheads out there. Well, Boers will stand our own. Okay, well, there's a few hundred thousand Boer. Okay, Afrikaners will stand our own. There's about 2.8 million of you. Okay, white people will stand our own. Well, there's about 4.8 million of you out of 58 million. And I'm like, okay, folks, you've got 6-7 million colored South Africans who share your culture, your language, your history, and in many cases, your outlook. So there's another 6-8 million allies as part of your constituency. And then Indians, by and large, feel the same way. So there's another 1.2 million. And then if you look at the historical African communities that share much in common with Afrikaners, like the Basutu and the Tswana speakers, that's another 4-7 million. Next thing you know, you got 18-20 million South Africans who are hot full of the ANC. Now, not all those people will vote for an opposition party, but my point is that you can rally support. People always want to make this black and white, which it's not. It's leftist and everybody else. That's the bottom line.
No, everybody can work together. Everybody can stand together. Yeah, that's the point. Because everybody's just gutful. What's happening is gutful. Farmers is gutful. Yeah. Burning all the farms. I don't know if you saw what's happened last week or the last past 2 weeks, that 200,000 of acres were burning down.
Yep.
Cattle, sheep. That's a lot of money.
Now, I've covered it. 240, just in the Northern Free State around Herzogville, in that area alone, 247,000 acres. That's the entire surface area of the country of Sao Tome and Principe. Exactly the surface area.
Right.
It's 381 square miles. Sorry?
One guy in the EFF shouted, listen, let's burn the bush, let's burn the farms. And what happened?
Well, they
all
did.
Of this now.
Less than 48 hours after he did that call to violence, and he's like, you know, call the fire brigade. And I love the government tries to cover the nonsense up too, Dupre. I mean, they come out with this. They're like, okay, it was a service delivery protest. It was at 4 o'clock in the morning. Last time I checked, there's a lockdown. Nobody's supposed to be out at 4 o'clock in the morning. And who does a service delivery protest in the middle of a field on a road out in the countryside? You usually go in town to get the media's attention, to get people's attention. And who burns tires and rolls them into a field? Come on, this is arson. Yeah. Knock it off. Yeah.
No, that's just stupid because the farming community is the one that keeps South Africa alive. Like a few years back when one of the ministers said to her, listen, she doesn't buy food from the farm, she buys it from Pick and Pay. Come on.
Listen. Okay. I couldn't possibly even remotely attempt to defend the people that are selected to be MPs in the parliament for the ANC. I mean, many of them are functionally illiterate. It's just a fact. I mean, so you had an MP not that long ago who said, they stole our dignity. They stole our land. 2,000 years ago, Jan van Riebeck came here and stole... I was never very good at maths in school, but I can take 1652 and subtract, it's 348 years ago, not 2000 years ago. There weren't even there weren't even any Bantu in South Africa 2000 years ago. They didn't start arriving.
About this is they can't even remember who their father is.
Exactly.
But they know who their forefathers is.
Yeah, exactly. No, but the Bantus didn't even arrive crossing the Limpopo until about 1600 years ago. So that's even 400 years before any Bantu arrived in South Africa, let alone Jan van Riebeck. Poor Jan van Riebeck, that poor guy.
Still, that guy's a legend.
He is a legend. He is a legend, no doubt about it. But there was a question here, or let me see. Oh, no, not a question. Jenny Geyer said, I cried big tears when Dupreer sang the stem. It reminded me so much of my late parents. Thank you, Dupreer. Oh, I assume she's talking about the version you have now. We'll play that before the program's over as well, because I like that version. It's pretty good. Well done. So you've got, both of you got a farming background in your family, like many people from South Africa. So the videos you film, I see that like in Destem, it's filmed on a farm. Is that in the Highveld somewhere?
That was in Heilbron, a town called Heilbron. And that was actually Audrey's brother's farm. My sponsor, Audrey, that's her brother's farm. And he's farming his sheep. He's a sheep farmer. So we shot there for the day. And then after that, went to Vegkop. That's 28 kilometers just on the other side. Sorry about this, Chris.
No, that's right.
Yeah, we shot there by Vegkop and on the farm, yeah, in Heilbron.
So, yeah, sorry, I was just looking for something over here while you're saying that. Yeah, it's someone just came in with breaking news. Tony Nagy, who's of Hungarian origin but grew up in South Africa. His family escaped from Hungary when the Soviets invaded in 56, and he lives in Canada now. So Tony's very confused about who he is, and he loves Trump. So he's a Hungarian, South African, Canadian who loves America. So there you go. But he's a great guy. But Tony just broke in. He said, breaking news, American hostage rescued in West Africa by SEAL Team 6 in a daring raid. Yeah, that's true. It is breaking news. But I broke the news a couple hours ago. There's a video on my channel when I discussed this. I did that. Yep, about 1,600 people already looked at it. So, yeah, you guys can watch that video talking about what happened there. We had an American who was kidnapped a few days ago in Niger about 5 days ago, and U.S. SEAL Team 6 cooperating with Niger and Nigeria went in after these guys. They weren't terrorists. They were, you know, ransom, you know, kidnap somebody for ransom sort of thing. So they got him, and they killed the SEAL Team 6 killed six of the seven kidnappers. So well done. Well done to SEAL Team 6. Anyway, so... Yeah, so okay, so that's Heilbron. Actually, I have an interesting story about Heilbron. I've never been there, but I have an interesting story about it. But so I was in South Africa in 2000, and what had happened is on the way down, I read in the Wall Street Journal about a Norwegian who had immigrated to KZN, KwaZulu-Natal, not long after the new dispensation, so 2000. And he was a retired Norwegian, and he wanted to do something positive for South Africa. So he went down there, and he bought a disused farm that had been abandoned. He got it back in operation. He used his retirement income to keep it going. He hired, like, I think, 25 Zulus to work for him on the farm. But somebody got greedy, and they wanted the pay. And, you know, of course, every Friday, excuse me, it's contagious, Dupreer. You've given it to me now. So all the way through the electrons. No, it's not the Rona. It's not the Rona. It's not the Rona. It reminds me of that Schwarzenegger movie, The Kindergarten Cup. It's not the tumor. Yeah, no. He's got a tumor. It's not a tumor. No, it's not. That's right. It's not the road. No, so I was reading this newspaper, and it said that that this farmer, they had hired these guys who worked on the farm, a couple of them, hired these Tutsi from Joburg to drive down, and they came down on the weekend, and they attacked him in his pantry. They pistol whipped him, locked his wife in the closet. She escaped through a window they didn't know about and went across the bush to the neighbor's farm a couple kilometers away. Anyway, they beat him to death for his wages. It's a really sad story. It's like 69-year-old Norwegian who had just did all he could to help South Africans. So I read about this in the Wall Street Journal. I got down there, and I went to Rourke's Drift. And when I was at Rourke's Drift, I was mentioning, someone said something about, because I said I lived in Germany before. He said, oh, do you speak German? I said, yeah, I do research in German. She goes, oh, you should go over to Ellenskral, because at Ellenskral, there's a German Lutheran church. I'm like, huh? I'm thinking it's like 200 years ago. So I went to Isandlwana, and then I doubled back, and I went to Ellenskral, and there is this German Lutheran church made out of stone on the side of a ridgeline in the middle of Zululand. I'm like, well, that's odd. So I rock up, and I park the hire, and I climb out, and I start walking around, and I see a graveyard. And there's fresh graves. It's 2000. So, I usually visit churches and I'll see, you know, these German names from 1850, 1910. So I look down and there's all written in German, and this person died like 3 weeks before. It's a fresh grave. I'm like, wow, people still speak German here. I didn't know this about that at the time. So I'm walking around and someone calls out to me in Afrikaans. Hoi dag. I'm like, hey, hoi dag. You know, and I come over and they start speaking Afrikaans. Oh, well, ik praat nie Afrikaans. Ik praat nie Afrikaans nie. You know, okay, slow down. And he said, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you didn't speak Afrikaans. I said, no, that's okay. No, I do research on Germans. And he goes, oh, do you speak German? So we started speaking German. And he was the pastor for that church, and that was his house right next to the church. So he invited me in. He was very, very, very nice gentleman. His first language was German, learned at home. His second language was English. His third language was Afrikaans. And his fourth language was Zulu, of course, because he lived there. So we're in his house, and he has these oil paintings all over the wall. And the oil paintings are churches. And we're switching between German and English and Afrikaans. So I figured I might have misunderstood a few times. So he told me, he said, I've never been to Germany. And I heard that. And then about a half hour later, he says, yeah, those oil paintings, that's the church in Heilbronn, and that one's in, you know, a couple other German German names. And I'm like, and I said, I'm sorry, did I misunderstand you? Because we're switching languages, and I switched English. You said you've never been to Germany, but that you said that's when you were pastor in Heilbronn. He goes, no, that's in KwaZulu-Natal. We have German villages all over KwaZulu-Natal. Anyway, so.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it was. So anyway, that part was funny. Not what happened to the farmer, but that was quite an amazing experience. And that's when I started doing more close research about ethnic Germans in South Africa. I didn't realize that they had such an influence. You have about 600,000 white South Africans who still speak German to a degree of proficiency in the country. And of course, amongst the Afrikaners, a lot of people don't know this. DNA-wise, people go, oh, you're Dutch. Well, you're Dutch and Huguenot and some a little Khoi and San. But mostly German. It's the larger percentage is actually German amongst the Afrikaans people. A lot of people don't know that. Anyway, that was a long diatribe. Let's get back to Dupreer's music.
Yeah.
So you did the song Die Stem. That's your most recent song, is it not?
Yes, yeah. Die Stem and Die Tijd is Nou. Say the time.
Yeah,
is
the
now.
Time is now. Die Tijd is Nou. Yeah. So why did you do this song and tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, it was just cynical. Yeah. Yeah, immediately after Cynical, because that of Horner's death, when he was murdered, that thing bothered me for, you can ask her, I think, nights I couldn't sleep at night because it bothered me. And I said, listen, I'm going to write a song. It was on the Monday. And I didn't have a chorus for the song. I had the verses was there. And me and I were sitting together here outside. And I said, yes, I wonder if the stem, salt and pus, just the words will fit into a chorus. And I took another, other chorus, and I put them two together, and it worked out amazing. We couldn't believe it when it fits in. It fitted into the whole song.
So, of course, what you're talking about, so for those who don't know who are not South African, Die Stem was the title of the South African National Anthem for decades, correct?
Yes. Yeah, written by Siya Langenhoven.
Yeah, and Die Stem translates to the voice, is that correct?
Yes, the other voice.
Yeah, so that's not that horrible American reality show where they bring these idiots on to sing. That's excellent. Exactly. Oh. Just thought I'd share that point. But it looks like a very heartfelt song. We're going to play it here in just a moment so for people to get a chance to listen to it. But I really enjoyed it. And I enjoy your music, the songs I've listened to, because unlike some folks who sing so, like Snotkop, I love Snotkop's music. But man, I need a dictionary when I listen to Snotkop because he uses slang. He speaks so fast. Yeah. Kuskumbios. And I know who Kuskumbios is, music, but all those together, it's tough for me as a non-Afrikaner. You know, it's Kuskumbois. Yeah, and his Mustang at Margate, you know. But some folks, I need the dictionary out. But with yours, I can usually keep up and follow most of it. So it's much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks.
It's pretty cool stuff. So is there anything else we should know about the song before we play it? About the D-Stem? Because I'm going to play that in just a moment for folks.
No, that's just deep. The song is meant a lot to me. Since now, it's doing quite well. The song is doing well on iTunes as well. So, yeah.
So my question...
we've got to follow up with that one. I said, we're going to get four other artists, unfamous artists. And we're going to write something that's going to be awesome. We want to shoot the video by the Witkruis Monument, the outside Potgietersrus that's now called Mokopane, where all the farm, you know, that Plaasmoorde with all the crosses. That's also in the video. That's the stem video. But we want to shoot there. We want to shoot on the farm. We want to shoot by the Voortrekker Monument with all of these artists. But we want to get a full band as well. We want to make it a bit more intense.
No, that'd be pretty pretty emblematic. I think in that video you have footage of Blood River, the monument there as well in Diestem. Is that correct? If I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. So the Witkois, I did a live stream for that for this year when tragically 53 new crosses were added to that. Yanni Meyer, whom I know, helped me out with live footage of that. That event, Denny van de Vesthuizen was there, I think, and Hofmeyer was there as well, Steve Hofmeyer. Yeah. That really tragic to see the Witkois monument, but it's really heartwarming that someone is taking. What's that?
I was there as well.
Oh, you were? Okay. No, I didn't know you were there. Okay. So I live streamed that. That was on the channel. We talked about that, just trying to draw attention. It's interesting because I had a lot of live streams in a row because so many events were taking place at one time. I mean, one time being over a short period of weeks to draw attention to this. It was really heartwarming to see all the show. I mean, the first was the biker rally. Oh my God. 41,000 motorcycles in Haltang going by the Union Building. Unbelievable. Now, the best they'd had before was like 5,000. So 41,000, amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And until this, what happened last week, this oak, this old toppy called, I think his surname is Serpentine or something like that. He was a bit pissed off about the bikers that were at Senekal and said, listen, what is the bikers doing at Senekal? They are not Buddha. Bikers are not welcome at this place. And I said, listen, if they're driving a Hilux bucky or a Mini Cooper or a bike, they're still Afrikaner and they're supporting what's happening in South Africa. How can you say they're not Boers, they're not Afrikaners, they're bikers? Everyone is welcome.
Yeah, exactly. And that's self-defeating and, in my view, stupid, that sort of attitude for a lot of reasons. And I'll explain a little bit more on that. But the bikers weren't just white Afrikaans-speaking bikers. There were colors, there were Indians, there were black South Africans who are standing with you. Stand sam, South Africa, stand sam. You don't. This division and stupidity is something you don't need in the face of this horrific danger that faces all South Africans. You need to stand together.
Yeah, you need to stand together.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where you're coming from or what you drive or whatever. It doesn't matter. As long as everybody's standing together, we can make a difference. But to say, listen, these guys aren't welcome, these guys aren't welcome, you're going to stand by yourself.
Exactly. I hope you enjoy being with three people and one rifle. You know, share that those five rounds of ammunition, because when it's all over... You're going to be.
We're going to take the 40,000 bikers. We're going to go home now. You stand and fight by yourself because you're almost the only Boer now.
Right. I mean, it's a very lonely feeling when you're the last living Welsh grenadier climbing up the escarpment of Isan Lawana and the Zulu are still coming as you run out of ammunition and you tire from beating them to death with your rifle all by your lonesome. Yeah. So, you know, just to put that in perspective.
Yeah. No, it's pathetic.
Yeah, it is. It really sad. Now, so, and just giving another example of this. So, as I mentioned to you, I'm a huge fan of Giselle, and she's a personal friend of mine, but she's from Namibia, and I called her a Boermeise, and someone said she's not a Boermeise. She's not from South Africa. I'm like, oh, she's an ethnic Afrikaner. She grew up on a farm. Just because it was in Namibia doesn't mean she's not a Boermeise. Give me a break. That's ridiculous.
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So let's see. There was I think that we've where's Jenny's here. Jenny says she's going to cry again because we're going to play Diestem. She's going to go get a brandy now. So
I said, tell Jenny, I must get one as well, please. Jenny, throw me one as well.
Get one for Dupreer while you're at it. Okay, Dupreer, I'm going to go ahead and play that now. Okay, I'm going to play Diestem. I'll put it up on the screen, and then for the audience, both of us are going to put our mics on mute so you don't hear us in the background, and you'll hear the song. But Dupreer, you'll be able to hear it because I'm playing it over the computer. So hang on. All right, so go ahead and put your mic on mute, and I'll put mine on mute, and we're going to play Diestem.
Waar is die dag wat ek jou beloof het? Waar is die dag die jy my stem gehoor het? Waar is die dag wat jy my hand gevat het om saam te speel op ons plaas? Waar is die dag toe ons kon boer in vrede? Waar is die dag gee my dag een nieuwe lewe? Waar is die dag my gesin een toekomst bou? Maar die vijand kom en vat my weg van jou. Waar is die dag waar die Afrikaners saam staan? Ons staar ons blind teen dit wat nou hier aangaan. Ons moet besef
dat die regte tyd is nou om saam te staan en aan ons toekoms bou. Uit die blou van ons hemel, uit die diepte van ons see, oor ons ewige gebergtes, waar die kranse antwoord gee, deur ons ver verlate vlaktes, met die kreun van ons ba, reis die stem van ons geliefdes, ons vir jou Suid-Afrika. Ons sal antwoord op jou roepstem, ons sal offer wat jy vra, ons sal lewe, ons sal sterwe, ons vir jou Suid-Afrika. Soos ons Vader vertrou het, leer ook ons vertroue Heer. Met ons land en met ons nasie sal dit wel wees, God regeer en God regeer. Nou is die tyd om te wys wat ek beloof het. Nou is die tyd, die stem uit volle borsheid. Nou is die tyd om hande saam te vat, teen die vijand weg, vir volk en vaderland. Uit die blauw van ons hemel, uit die diepte van ons see, waar ons ewige gebergtes, waar die kranse antwoord gee, deur ons ver verlate vlaktes, met die kreun van ons ba, reis die stem van ons geliefdes, ons vir jou Suid-Afrika. Ons sal antwoord op jou roepstem, ons sal offer wat jy vra, ons sal lewe, ons sal sterwe, ons vir jou Suid-Afrika. Soos ons Vader vertrou het, leer ook ons vertroue Heer. Met ons land en met ons nasie sal dit wel wees, God regeer en God regeer. Uit die blauw van ons hemel, uit die diepte van ons see, waar ons ewige gebergtes, waar die kranse antwoord gee, deur ons ver verlate vlaktes, met die kreun van ons ba, reis die stem van ons geliefdes, ons vir jou Suid-Afrika. Ons sal antwoord op jou roepstem, ons sal offer wat jy vra, ons sal lewe, ons sal sterwe, ons vir jou Suid-Afrika. Soos ons Vader vertrou het, leer ook ons vertroue Heer. Met ons land en met ons nasie sal dit wel wees, God regeer en God regeer.
Sorry about that, folks. Wow, Dupreer, that's powerful. That is very powerful. Well done.
Thank you.
I got to put my earpiece back in. I forgot about it again there. A little choked up myself there. Sorry about that. It's a powerful song. Lots of love for you in the comments. People loving it. People choked up thinking about their life on the farm and what's happening. So that's awesome, man. I enjoyed the Tresemme, but. That's nice and cheeky and a lot of fun, but this is a very powerful song. It's really well done. It's really frustrating to watch an effort by a political party to stamp out an entire language and a culture, and what's clearly an effort that's been going on, cultural genocide by the ANC, in the argument that they're just trying to right the ship. They're not righting the ship. They're trying to destroy the foundations of the country. Yeah. South Africa is a country full of amazing people from lots of different cultures, lots of different languages, and all of them should be able to celebrate their heritage and celebrate with pride and have places named after them where they settled. You know, for instance, if you go to Blood River, you've been there, obviously. Across the river, the Buffalo River, you also see the Zulu Memorial to celebrate their time there. And that's perfectly acceptable to see the Afrikaner monument on one side and the Zulu monument on the other side. I visited both when I was there, and I was impressed by both and recognizing the horrific battle that took there. And of course, that was the Day of the Covenant for the Afrikaners, and it's critical to the history of the Afrikaners. But wow. Sorry, I'm still a little choked up there about that song. Jenny said she was going to. She didn't say she was going to get you a brandy, but she went to get me a brandy. So I think she's having two. So
she must enjoy it, Jeff. Yeah, no.
Yeah. So Sharon says, now we all need a Kleenex. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. So, yeah, it's inspiring music like that. That music really has a way of motivating and inspiring people. And that's what's really cool about it. So
That's what I'm trying to do. Because I can't stand there and go on my Facebook and say, listen, kom ons moet almal saam staan. Because I say, wie is jy, monkey? Jy is depressed. Jy is niks. So what I'm doing now is I'm putting in a song.
Yep.
The song can go or the song can't go. If the song goes wild, everybody will listen to it and say, listen, but this is the truth. This is the truth. This is what it's been writing about.
So this song is also on your Facebook site. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes.
And how is it doing so far?
It's doing well. It's quite well. There's an advertisement for the song and for iTunes. And there's the music video as well. And it's on YouTube as well. Yeah. It's not Theresa May, because Theresa May was funny. Because, listen, the Afrikaner has a humor, a sense of humor you won't believe.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. Coloreds have a sense of humor that's hilarious, too. There's some funny folks. But I forgot to say, when that was over, Mitrotskeborg from Chris White Africa.
Yeah.
That's right. No, the first time I heard that phrase was with Afrikaans' Root, you know, at the end of all their videos, Mitrotskeborg. You know, and I didn't know what it meant. I know it meant and trot, but I never figured out, and eventually I looked it up. Oh, proudly brought to you by. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's mine. Like Trotskeborger, want ek is boer. And then this odd name like Audrey Barnes. Everybody goes, who is Audrey Barnes? She said, listen, just keep a name. No business is nothing. I was like, okay, that's fun. Let's keep you as Audrey. Lovely lady. Pals. Pal of me and John Marie. Lovely lady.
So I think you've got, the risk of saying fanboy, it's not gender specific, but I think Jenny Geyer is a big fanboy here for you there, Dupreer. She's got great things to say. But by the way, she said she was drinking both the brandies for sure. So.
Oh, for my sake as well. Thank you, Jenny. Thanks.
Yeah, but she's got some really great stuff. She loves your voice. Yeah, I was going to say, you have a distinctive voice. I mean, listen, when I hear your voice, I'm like, ah, Dupreer. You know, it's like when I hear Referenza, I know it's Referenza. When I hear Elandre, I know it's Elandre. There's certain artists, you know, Joe Black. That's Joe Black. You just know right away. When I hear your voice, it's very clear. I know it's not like I'm going to confuse you with some other artist. It's pretty clear. Do you find that to be a strength? And do you think people like your music because it's distinctive, your voice?
Yes, I don't know, Chris. Some people like it. The other guy told me the other day, what did he say on Facebook? Luister jy ras in my ore. He says, you're making noise in my ears. I says, no. But we just left him alone because the people were, and this was with this thing, this the song that you just played. And he said, this is just making noise in my ears. But the people went after this guy. Says, oh, this guy's hanging himself now. Why is he doing this?
So Dupreer, very quickly, people are asking, I'm sorry, they're asking where they can get the song. Is Destem on iTunes and Amazon, or where can they find your song?
Everywhere.
All the digital platforms. So if you have an account with iTunes or with Amazon or something like that.
iTunes, Amazon, Google Play Store, everywhere.
Yeah. So
I think it's 167 now.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys can go get it there if you're asking for it. So yeah, check that out. What your fiance started to say something that cut her off. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. He does get a lot of comments about his voice. He does. People love his voice. And that compliments him about it. But I also think it's he's got a very different way in his music. He's got a lot of sense of humor, and he sings about reality and everyday life. And I think that's why it's attracting the people, because he's got a special brand in his music.
I don't lie about stuff. I don't go stuff up. I'm writing reality. About what's happening. This is what's happening in South Africa. Yeah. I'm going to write about it, and that's it. Get it out. That everybody sees it. Everybody hears it.
It actually started with the COVID.
Yeah.
When you were the first song that came was the Corona with song, with Blackie Swart. And that's just took flame. And then also the lockdown song and
Cyril and Suppose.
Die regering also did very well. That was very funny.
Cyril and Suppose was also funny. Yeah. Also a hit,
people loved it. And then the followers just start climbing.
So I think I know where Ronaldo Hoss says something similar to that. He's always doing that when he's doing a fake Cyril voice. And I think that maybe that's where he heard it. He must have heard it in your song, Cyril and Suppose.
Yeah. Cyril and Suppose.
Okay, so listen, serious question. So when people talk, is the biggest question about his distinctive voice or her long hair?
both or Smith?
No, there's both. La la.
Yeah, I think that actually, but yeah. When the Tresemme video was released, we did get a lot of comments about the hair.
About the hair,
and
yeah.
I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. And the one lady commented and said, she tagged in the post, not her, she tagged a friend of hers, somebody else, and she said, look at this woman's hair. And the other one commented and said, where does she buy that Tresemme? I want that Tresemme.
Exactly. No, that's where we were talking about it. I mean, I mentioned this before we went on air, folks, but Dupree and I were talking about it. I said, you know, I was talking to somebody about this, and they're like, well, Tresemme doesn't do that for my hair. I said, watch the video. You're not using enough.
The boss, poor Zandu's hair. Yeah.
And the small child in the tub, he must have had like 8 pounds of the stuff in his kid's hair.
But his hair is soft now. You should see him now.
No doubt. No doubt. Very soft and fresh and shiny.
No, fresh and shiny.
So Shack Dweller, who's a loyal viewer on the channel, said it took 30 meters of cable and a generator and 10 liters of fuel, but I'm here. He just showed up about 4 minutes ago. Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, S. Thank you, SCOM. Yeah. So yeah. Shack Dweller, this episode is mit Trotzgeburg von SCOM.
And there goes the lights. Boom.
Exactly. Don't worry about copyrighted music. They'll just knock you off for the power. Yeah, so he comes. Yeah. So right after that, Shack Dweller's like, why is everybody crying?
You're a bit late, buddy. You're a bit late.
Yeah, but the good news is you can always go back and watch it afterwards. Michelle Lottigan says, she's answering Renee. Renee said something, but she said, I'm mixed English and Afrikaans. Living in the city, was married to a wonderful Boer son for a long time. Like to think of myself being a Boer Maisie as well. Love everything Afrikaans. Well, why not? Why can't you be a Boer Maisie? I mean, you've certainly got the heritage and you're certainly entitled to that. Pretty cool. Well, let's see. So I want to ask you, with the lockdown, now obviously... she's got a day job, so I'm sure that helps, pay for, because somebody has to pay ESCOM for the few times that you actually get electricity, you probably have to pay for it. So, she's got a day job, so I'm sure that helps. But during the lockdown, have you been able to rely on music sales? Because you couldn't do concerts, or did you do online concerts? Some people were doing online concerts, which honestly were mostly pretty lame.
No. What we did is we did all these lockdown songs. Like I said, Cyril and Supposa, the regering, and like I said, Audrey Barnes have been backing me the whole time. So, she said, listen, let's make a song. Each week, let's make a song, get sponsors, and that's going to keep you alive. But I've also got Want Ons Is Boer clothing line that's also selling. So selling online, Want Ek Is Boer, because it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about too. So we see that on your cap there and on your top there. So do you have a website for that, or how do people find that?
No, it's just on Facebook now. We're still busy with the website and everything. It's on Facebook, and then they just WhatsApp me, and yeah, we send them all the pics and they do the orders and we send them through.
Cool.
I think we are so far now to New Zealand. The last order was New Zealand.
Wow.
Order for New Zealand, yeah.
Well, I'd order some, but with South African Postal Services, I don't think I'll ever see it, so.
No, you won't. You must get somebody else. No.
So sure. I was asked by one of my viewers if I would be willing to help out. And so a little project we did. Now I can let this out because people know about it. But he wanted me to buy 7 caps. And the 7 caps, now the thing is that the site you buy them from, you actually have to be an American citizen because it's a political contribution. But apparently somehow he was able to do it. He told him he wasn't, but they put it through anyway. But these were 7 caps that were sent to South Africa. And so this is one of the caps right here. So we sent those to South Africa. Keep America great. These are Donald Trump hats. So,
that's cool.
South Africans wanted these hats. And so the deal was that the person who asked me to do it wanted to send them to a number of South African YouTube personalities. And I sent them the first couple of days of September, and they got them this week because they sat in customs for 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Even though I paid $300 US to ship a small box that weighs less than 3 kilos to South Africa overnight.
Yes.
$300.
Costing about $10.
Yeah, and then they wanted to charge 60% customs tax on the product coming as if I was a business. It was a gift. It was a personal thing I sent, and they wanted 60%. This kind of corruption is insane, and it really is irritating because when South Africa sends any commercial goods to America for most things they send here, there's no duty because South Africa is exempted under the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. They charge us tariffs when we send things to South Africa, which is fine, but they're charging me as a private individual to send a gift. They want them to pay the customs tax and then the VAT on top of that. It's utterly insane. But anyway, long story short, so now Ronaldo Jose has one of these. They actually have the camo. They don't have that one. They don't have the red one. I think this is the cap that they got. This is the Duck Dynasty colored hat. Keep America Great.
Yeah, that's nice. I'll just get one as well.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so we sent seven of these to South Africa, and Paratus has one, and Ronaldo Jose has one, as well as the person who asked me to do it. So it was an epic adventure. That's why I say it's hard. So if I buy any of your kit, I'm going to have to pick it up when I come to South Africa, because otherwise I'll never see it.
You can come to South Africa anytime, yeah.
Cool beans. Folks, you're listening to Chris White Africa here on the Adaba Africa channel on my regular Saturday stream. My special feature guest today is the one, the only, Dupriya van Heerden, whose most recent releases include the cheeky but quite entertaining song Tresemme, in case you missed it. And also, he just did a version of The Stem, which is quite beautiful and emotional. And we just played that for a few moments ago. He's there with his fiance, who is now famous for her epic hair all over the world. Everyone knows about that hair. I don't think you knew that people were going to latch on to that. I mean, look, the slow-mo. I mean, I'm going to do a video myself.
Slow-mo. You must Tresemme that beard, Chris. You must Tresemme the beard.
but if I want it to be that soft, I'm going to have to put a lot of Tresemme in there and just kind of rub it around. You know?
Yeah, you need a lot of Tresemme.
Yeah, but actually, I use Pantene, not Tresemme.
That's the problem.
Yikes. Yeah. So you recorded these things and that generated some income for you as well. That's great because, I mean, it's you know, a lot of people lost their jobs in South Africa, not just there, but around the world. I mean, in America, we lost 42 million jobs in 90 days. South Africa lost 3 million. I mean, that's a lot, but 42 million, can you imagine that? That's bigger than most countries. It's insane.
Yeah. It's insane. On businesses, you know, the core business, the core delicious business here in Pretoria is big, and they were all closed down for months. Yeah. And some of them are now permanently closed. Some of them got out of the ditch, but some of them are closed now. Millions and millions of rands.
Which business? I didn't hear which business.
Car dealerships.
Oh, car dealerships. Yeah. Now, where are people going to get the car? From a monopoly, because only one guy's left. You got to pay whatever he sells it for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's horrific. Now, some of that will come back, not for the people necessarily that own the businesses, but someone will move into that void. But you know what's really sad about this is that and I'm not picking on the wealthy because I have nothing against wealthy people, but those with means, the uber wealthy, are the ones who will profit from this immensely. We saw this in Cape Town with so many historic restaurants and pubs and bars shutting down that people had no choice but to sell their business because they couldn't meet payroll, they couldn't meet to pay their utilities, they couldn't pay their taxes. So they sold their businesses for a song for almost nothing. And those with the resources bought it, paid those minimal bills, kept it closed down. And when they can open up again, they'll own 27 restaurants and bars instead of five. And you're going to have, I think, a dilution in the quality of entertainment, of food, and places to go to as a consequence of this.
Yeah.
So in normal days, Dupriya, I mean, as a musician, because I talked to Johan, who manages artists and of course, Giselle's career. And we talked about this and said these days, people aren't making that much money in general before lockdown from their music on, you know, when they sell songs because of digitization. It's not like we all go to the old days to go to the store and buy LPs and, you know, and CDs and stuff like that. People still go to Musica and CD and places like that, but they'll buy those things. But a lot of people are buying digital or they're just listening to it through a free means. So a lot of artists in South Africa have been making most of their income from concerts in the recent past. Has that been the case for you? Do you do better with concerts?
Selling music, yes, it's not that good in SA, but the artists here make their money from live concerts. That's a fact. That's a fact. So when Corona came and locked, everybody has just fell down. It just crashed. Everybody crashed. So guys like myself that's got sponsorships backing me everywhere and can stand behind me so I can write songs and do new stuff, that's amazing. I think that's a blessing for me. For the other guys, there's there's pub singers that goes in pubs. They sing in pubs to get income. The pubs are closed. They can't sing. Yeah. What happens to that? They're broken down. It's no money.
It's absolutely horrific. And that's, you know, it's not just musicians. It's also comedians. You know, there's a lot less comedians, but there's comedians out there. They can't go to a club. They can't perform. How can they possibly make money? It's just, it's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, and my shows were cancelled. Yeah, when Corona started, they cancelled all the shows. And even some of the shows should have paid deposit and they didn't pay the deposit. The Corona was too fast on them. Lucky for them. Otherwise, I would have gained my deposit. But yeah.
Wow. So Jacques Vint has just popped in the stream. He's a recent viewer on the channel. He said, "Hey, sexy people." He said, it's
hey, Jacques.
it's raining in the Free State. Thank Jesus, he says. Well, yeah, it's needed. Keep those arsonists at bay.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody just said, like the stream. Come on, smash the like button, folks. Why not? It costs, listen, I'll tell you what. For the absolutely low introductory price, and of course, this is Mitotskeborg from Chris White Africa, no charge to push the like button today. You can push the like button for absolutely free. And you know what? If you want to push the dislike, you can push that one too. Here's a little secret to prepare. If they push the dislike button, it gets promoted just as easily. It actually helps.
Yeah, they did push a button.
not that we're looking for dislikes, but just push the button. Just smash the button. Anyway, so so listen, yeah. With lockdown having eased, some people were able to go out and do concerts. This is like 50 people gatherings. And I know we won't disclose this, but I'm sure that it's some locations, more than 50 people showed up. Kind of like Trump's rally in Minneapolis and Minnesota yesterday. The governor and the attorney general of Minnesota said, who are leftists, said, no, you can only have 250 people come to Trump rally. Are you serious? This guy gets 40,000 people. So there were 250 people next to the stage and then 25,000 behind the barriers standing right next to each other, crammed in like this. You know, so if they have the Rona, they're sharing it. But the argument was that we can't have that many people there because they'll get sick. Well, 25,000 people were there. So, I mean, have you been doing any concerts since lockdown eased, or are you just sticking online for now? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just sticking in. Yeah. I've got my business running and what I do with the music now and the sponsorships, that's holding me. Yeah, but that's quite green. It's doing well for me. Shows is not going to do well for me now because the music is doing well.
So is that kind of your business model going forward? You're going to approach it the way you're doing it right now? Probably not do concerts anytime in the near future?
Yeah. No, I will do concerts next year. They started to book next year from April. I'm fully booked in again, yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, that's, we looked at booking Östi Dlitten and we waited till, not assuming that the ANC wouldn't get their act together, we figured we'd wait till later in the year, and that's why it's October. So they're coming down. They're going to do seven to 10 tour dates in KwaZulu-Natal, in Gauteng, maybe up in Rustenburg, Cape Town, possibly Namibia. And so that's all coming. That's kind of cool. I've never been involved in the music industry, so it's kind of exciting for me. It's something new, something cool.
That's cool.
I've just been a consumer, burning all my money buying music over the years because I never pirated. I always, every song I ever have, I bought. I never pirated.
So. Yeah, well, music is the laughter of life, so you can enjoy it.
It's awesome. So let's see. Jenny Geyer says, now Jenny's had a couple brandies, so we have to start to question.
Oh, Jenny's still online. Jenny.
We have to start to question the reliability of her chat.
We must get a big 4-liter brandy now for Jenny.
Exactly.
but
Jenny says that it's raining in Alberton. I just mentioned that because anytime it's raining in South Africa, it's probably, other than in KwaZulu-Natal, it's probably good news for most people. So it's raining in Alberton, so I mentioned that.
Oh, it's sitting up here as well. I can hear everything outside, the trees and the wind and everything. So I think it's going to start here raining as well now.
Okay, that's cool. Tony is our newsbreaker today while we're on the stream here. Tony Nagy, the Hungarian / South African / Canadian who loves Trump. Tony says that Boris Johnson is going to announce a month-long lockdown. Well, I think Boris Johnson and the Tories are short for ruling that country if they keep that nonsense up. People are hot full of this nonsense in the UK, in France, in Italy, in Spain, in Germany, in the United States, in South Africa. Yeah, but here we got people in the streets demonstrating against it, and the same in those countries. Massive demonstrations in Berlin, police beating up on demonstrators. It's really, really sad.
Yeah.
So that hair, I'm sorry, I got to get back to that hair. Now you pulled your cap off and we're like doing ruffling through your hair. But listen, Dupree, your hair can't compare to that. She's got some pretty awesome hair there.
I've tried, but it can't.
that's a no win game. You're not going to get there. So by the way, what made you think about doing a clothing line? Because it's not like, some musicians will have their band name or they'll have their name on it, but you've got this farmer line there. So what brought that about?
I've got that song called Want ek is Boer. I think the one that you used the photo of.
Yeah.
That's a song.
Uh-huh.
So me and I were sitting now. It was just before lockdown. I've just in lockdown.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah. And we said, listen, let's start this clothing line. Want ek is Boer. Kom ons begin dit.
But it's originating from his
from the song. Yes. Gotcha. And that's where the cap in the photo that you posted, that Van Dyker's Boer with the cap, and that's why we started with the labeling, that is the cap sign. You see the cap. Yep. Same as on the photo. Yeah, so yeah, it's working. It's cool.
Yeah, and I also think maybe for what's going on in the country, it's like the songs, what it does, it's motivating people. And it gets people to buy the brand, and the more people buy the brand, you feel like more like a unit.
Yeah.
It's not you standing alone. There's a lot of people interested in this brand. There's a lot of people have the same passion. So we started this for that same reason, to motivate people, because a song can motivate people.
Yeah, same as the song. Yeah, clothing line, same as the songs. Just bring everybody together. Get it. Show it out there.
Yeah, to stand strong and to stand together, and that's basically what we want to create.
No, that's cool. It's interesting because I was not familiar with your clothing line until I watched your videos, but of course I am familiar with those Silly Oaks Yan the clothing line.
Yeah, that's well, yeah, Burbu.
Yeah, those guys are too funny. I laugh when I watch their videos. They're just hilarious.
With the shorts.
Exactly, with the shorts. Listen, I mean, there's some cultural things about Afrikaners that are just, you know, I mean, they must date back to the days when they all lived in abject poverty. I mean, what is it with Afrikaans children running around till they reach their teenage years with no shoes on? I mean, you walk through a mall in a modern 21st century. I mean, the first time I was in the Rustenburg, the Waterfalls Mall there in Rustenburg, I'm walking around and I see these people, and I see these kids, and none of them got shoes. And I see the African, black African kids wearing shoes. I'm like, well, the white people poor, they can't afford shoes. What's going on with that?
yeah, that's quite true.
Yeah, it is. It's a cultural thing that a lot of people aren't aware of. Now, listen, okay, a news update from Jenny. We must share you. Jenny says, Dupreer, my Clippies is running out. So that's not good. And Ginaldo Rose said that Dupreer should write a song about Jenny and Brandy.
Hey, Jenny and Brandy. That's cool. Yeah, that sounds good. Jenny and Brandy.
It wouldn't be the first song about Jenny. Of course, we had Tommy Two-Tone back in the 80s. Jenny, Jenny, who can I turn to?
Yeah, there's a song out from Jan Blom. Actually, one amazing song, Jenny.
Okay.
Jenny from Blom. You should hear that song. That's quite a cool song.
Okay. I think I might have heard that one, but the one that always sticks in my mind is Tommy Two-Tone, Jenny 8675309. Yeah, everyone knows that song. So if we see a song about Jenny and Brandy and Clippies, we'll know the inspiration came from. So
yes, yeah, for sure.
Your dogs are barking. Is everything okay?
Yeah, that dog loves barking.
Well, no, it's South Africa. When a dog barks, I mean, I take it seriously.
Well, but this one just discovered his voice, so he's amazed by it. He thinks he's maybe a musician or a singer or something. He barks the whole bloody night.
Jenny's asking where she can get. Okay, I told you she's a fanboy. You're gonna have to write a song about her now. And of course, your fiance was here, so there's no need for any concerns. You know, he's just exactly. No, but she's asking where she can get the hats. It's on your Facebook site, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I put the link to your Facebook site below the video. People, please check that. I think that's down there. You can find it.
Also under the Korea page as well.
Yeah, so go check that out, and you'll be able to find it below the video. I'm pretty sure it's there. Let me just double check and make sure I actually put it there. Normally, I always seem to forget with Jeremy now. Whenever he's on the channel, I seem to forget to put the stuff there. But most other people, when they're on the channel, I remember to put the link in there. So let me see. There's your Facebook page. I'll just go ahead. And it's Dupreer fan page. Let me just go ahead and put that in the chat right now so people have it. My moderators used to do a pretty good job, but I think they're all busy drinking brandy right now, so they're falling down on the job.
Yeah, Jenny is contagious.
She is. Well, I mean, listen, you gave me the Rona through the internet, and now they've got the Clippies through the internet. So.
No. Now we're going to start. The party is going to be fun now.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what this is. We just someone's misbehaving in the chat there. France has Frashatse, Free State has Visagi. Huh? What's that? Het Janse van Unsburg. I don't know what he's talking about there. Peter Dutoyce is better than Jessica. I guess he's talking about Jenny instead of Jessica.
Because my song comes from a song called Jessica.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's where the music comes from. Yeah. That was why it was so familiar. I'm like, this sounds familiar, but I've never heard anyone sing about Tresemme before, so I'm a little confused.
Yeah.
Yikes. Anyway, so listen, you got anything on the horizon? Any songs that you're writing now? I mean, I guess that's a hard question to ask because you're like, I write a song in 15 minutes. So I suppose if you got anything on the horizon, you've already written it and you're producing it now. But are you thinking about any ideas for songs? Other than Jenny and Brandy.
No, Jenny and Brandy, no. Just those that I said that we're going to get those four artists now to do a song with. I'm going to just write a song for them and do it with them, and that's it. Yeah.
Comes
when somebody do something stupid
it
in
comes,
South
yeah,
Africa,
it just comes.
And then it comes. If something happens stupid, then I'm just going to write about it.
Yeah.
Well, no doubt about it. Actually, I saw an amazing turnabout with a video, I guess, was purported to be Julius Malema a day or so ago, in which he's like, oh, no, white South Africa, white people have a place in this country. We all belong here. I'm like, what is he? Is he inebriated? Did they fill him up with some kind of drugs to hear him actually say something like that? I think Juju realizes the deep caca that he's gotten himself into now. He's running around. The assault on that white police officer 2 years ago was caught on video. Yeah. He's in the car.
White team now behind him, advocates in the training, and they told him, listen, but you don't like white people, why do you have these? And they say, no, they do the job right.
as opposed to the other 4.8 million that don't?
Yes.
Yikes. No, you're right. There's always some idiotic thing. Well, here's one for you, if you want to do one. I don't know how you turn this into a song, but did you see what happened to the Mpumalanga ladies, the Mpumalanga Sunbirds, the netball team? This week, they won their game 43-42, the semifinal. They were going to go to the championship, and then they had 43 points stripped from them because they violated transformation rules. Now, most people would assume that they had too many white players on the team, right? Like the Springboks, it's too white. We need transformation.
Yeah.
No, they had too many black players on the court.
Yes.
So they have these stupid rules, and they say that you must have no less than 4 black players and no more than 3 white players. And if you can't have 6 black players and 1 white player, and it can't be even for a moment of the game. So in the second period, in the second quarter, for just a couple moments, they had 6 black players and just 1 white player on the court. And because they didn't have enough white players, they were disqualified for failing to meet transformation goals. That is the most idiotic, stupid thing on the planet. So I don't know how you turn that into a song, but there's more stupidity to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
So you can put anything into a song, actually.
Yeah, no, that's pathetic.
It really is. I mean, and what's sad about that is this. I did a video last night talking about it. I said, what's sad about it, Dupree, is that it's kind of like here in America, we have these idiots running around saying that transgender athletes can compete in the sex they become. So males who are teenagers who decide that they're female and they become female and they go through hormones or whatever, or even those who don't, they just feel female. They haven't gone through any changes physiologically. They're male. They have an X and Y chromosome. They can compete against female athletes. And so what happens is female athletes in schools don't get scholarships to go to prestigious universities because they don't win anymore. They lose opportunities. They don't get chances for the Olympics. It's utterly disgraceful what's happening here. And that's the same sort of thing there. I mean, these athletes, black and white, won the game. They were going to go to the final. Some of them would have got attention and had an opportunity to go abroad and play in Australia or in the UK and make a living from netball. Now they won't be known about because they can't shine because they were discriminated against because too many black players were on the court. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's pathetic.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I can't believe that somebody's actually sitting there thinking about this. That's going to work. There's 6 black people. No, scrap them. No.
Now, I'm really sad for the Mpumalanga Sunbirds, but I'm very happy because I've been making the argument forever that this stupidity of artificially socially engineering things to meet a political objective is dangerous for all of society. And whenever I talk about the Springboks, it's just because you only want to see white players in the Springboks. No, I mean, the Springboks would have a much poorer team without Brian Habana on the team, without Elton Yankees on the team, even without Sia Khaleesi and his recent wokeness, without him on the team, they'd have been a much poorer squad. So no, I'm not in favor of the team being all white or being all black. I'm in favor of the team being the best players at that moment in time for that position to make the best team, which is what Rossi did in 2019. I mean, that team was the best team. They weren't I would say that there were a few better players in a few positions, but it was the best team and they won as a team. So that's what I hate that stupidity. So
yeah, that is stupidity. Yeah.
Anyway, well, listen, for all the blondies out there, get your Tresemme. It really helps with your hair. You've seen the results right there. Here, coming back again, if you don't believe in the power of Tresemme, ladies and gentlemen, once again, mit Trotzgeburg from Chris White Africa, Tresemme. And if you don't believe in the power of Tresemme, just look on the screen right there, that luxurious, beautiful, sensuous, lovely hair right there. No, not Dupreer. I'm talking about his fiance. Anyway. Anyway, well, listen, we're coming up on an hour and a half. You've been incredibly generous with your time, and I'm enjoying, but I probably need to let you get back to what you guys were doing. So, what's that?
The Clippies. I must go to Jenny now.
Yeah, well, you have to go write that song. It'll take about 15 minutes. So, go write that song, and then we'll join you in 2 hours from now after you've recorded and performed it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Dupreer, go do your job.
Well, that's good. Well, see, now we'll put it to the test. Now, see, listen, folks, Dupreer Van Heerden came on my channel, and he was kind of cocky. He said he can write a song in 15 minutes and produce it in a couple hours. So we put him to the test, and we invite him back to Night Owl's edition, and son of a gun, he had a song.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Exactly. So listen, before we wrap up, is there anything you guys like to share and let us know about? If you want to talk about your clothing line, talk about your music, talk about South Africa, about farm murders, anything you want to share with us before we leave? I mean, I leave the floor open to you there. Anything you want to say?
Chris, it's just heartbroken what's happening to South Africa right now for the farmers. And I don't care. I don't really care about my music. I don't care about anything. I'm just care about my farmers. We go out, we drive to Senegal, we drive to Eldron, we drive to everywhere, we drive to Bloemfontein, Free State, to go look at what's happening. And you must actually see this, you must see the cry in the people's eyes.
Yeah.
Why are they doing this to them? Actually, to own a farm is now, you don't
most
want a farm.
Yeah.
You don't want a farm now in South Africa. So if somebody's going to give you a farm and say, listen, yeah, just keep the farm because I'm going to be murdered. I don't want a farm. I'd rather stay in Pretoria.
Yeah, but that's what I want to create. I can say it's pretty much ridiculous for this whole BLM thing that came in. So I think that's a bit unfair though, because for what reason?
Mm.
Because there's also white people that's underprivileged. A lot of them in South Africa suffering exactly the same as some of the black people.
That's also living in squatter camps.
So it's all lives matter. It's not just black lives matter. And this country is very blind.
But there's a handful of people that's standing together. I must say they are starting to make a difference.
Yeah.
Stuff is happening. I see that they've been raising at Jacaranda FM now. I think it's just over 2.6 million now.
Yes.
For the farm burns yesterday.
Wow.
Bucky's Buddha obviously helping with this as well. So yeah, they've raised 2.6 million for that. That's awesome. So there is people with hearts, So yeah, it's just scary. South Africa is a bit scary for the farmers.
Well, it's not just for farmers. I mean, listen, I wouldn't want to be a security guard for a cash in transit operation. That's a very short life expectancy.
Yeah.
All over.
As well, yeah.
And I wouldn't want to be a young black woman in South Africa because gender-based violence and murder and rape is, and that happens to everybody, but especially young black women. I mean, you saw in Soweto last week, a young black man who was murdered by these Tutsi because his friend and he were talking. She's a young lady. They're standing by the gate of her house there in Soweto, and these gangsters come up like, hey, and they just say, hey, so you're with me, and she just ignores them because if you give them any attention, like she belongs to them. So. Yeah. It's clear where it's going. They're going to take her off and gang rape her and murder her. And so her friend pushes the gate open so she can get through the gate. She goes through the gate and she escapes back into her house. And his reward was they shot him in the chest and killed him right there in the street. And he was, you know, so when you're, and then we saw this cash in transit heist yesterday in which, and near Florida, Johannesburg in Florida. And what happened was a tow truck driver followed the gangsters. There was three cars of them that stopped and blew up this armored car and took the cash. So he followed them. They stopped him and they shot him in the chest and killed him. So, I mean, you can't even do the right thing in South Africa when the police don't fail to show up. It's just, it's horrific. And then I saw the cash in transit heist from a few days ago in which the armored car was a bucky pulled up with like seven of these gangsters. You could see because people were upstairs, they were filming it. And they rushed out and the guy was walking out. You have the little bollards, the concrete posts that are there so people can't drive onto the sidewalk in front of the business. So he walks out past those and there's the armored car and he reaches to go put the money in the back. They come running up. He drops the money. He backs away, just puts his hands up, offers no resistance, none whatsoever, just backs away. Six of them rush and take all the money out of the truck. The seventh one comes up behind him, pushes him to the ground. When he's down on his knees, he pushes him flat on the ground. He reaches down, puts the gun in the back of his head, and executes him in the back of the head. For what? They're wearing ski masks. You don't know who they are. He offered no resistance. You can't, the days in the past when people try to kidnap you and you don't offer resistance because you get yourself killed, those days are gone. People try to kidnap you, you have to fight back because you're going to be dead.
You can't throw your hands up in the air and out. I'll rather fight back than just lie down and get executed.
Well, I mean, we saw the farmer up there, I think it was in Mpumalanga, if I'm not mistaken, a couple weeks ago. They went after him and they doused him in petrol and lit him on fire. And he had a sidearm. He got a few shots off with him. Fortunately, he was near a swimming pool. He dove in a swimming pool, so he didn't get burned up. But I mean, but this is just horrific what's happening in South Africa. I mean, and the world doesn't know. It doesn't care.
Yeah, the world doesn't know what's happening in South Africa. And this terrorism, bad. It's bad here. It is bad.
It's because it's been going on for too long and nothing has been done.
Yeah. They're doing nothing about this.
No, they're getting used to it. It's like a routine.
Well, in fact, I think what you're saying is correct. Back in 2001, I think it was, I was in an airport at Charles de Gaulle in Paris, and we had a delayed flight, and I was headed to Johannesburg, and there were a bunch of South Africans, of course, mostly white, a few coloreds, and a couple black South Africans, and there were some Americans there, and they started talking to me because of my accent. They knew I was American, and they found out I was in the Army, so with the conversation, and we're talking, they said, so what's it like in South Africa? You've been there? I said, oh, I've been there many times. I said, South Africa is amazing, but listen, you got to keep your spidey sense about you, that hair in the back of your neck. You just got to pay attention because things can go kind of bad in a hurry in certain places.
Yeah.
And I said, and South Africans, oh no, he's exaggerating. It's not that dangerous. And then I swear to God, in the course of a half hour conversation, every single one of them, this was stories like this. Oh yeah, no. When they broke into my home, I got shot right here. See the scar? That's from when I got shot. Oh yeah, this was a knife wound from they tried to gang rape me when I was at university. Yeah. I escaped. Here in the stomach, this is where I was shot when I got carjacked. Every one of them had been shot or stabbed. And they're all like, oh, South Africa's not dangerous. And I said, the problem is that you're so accustomed to this level of violence that it doesn't shock you anymore. And that was 20 years ago. So you can only imagine how people aren't shocked by it now. But even now, people are so shocked by what's going on.
They don't even put it in the newspaper anymore.
Exactly.
Farmer murdered. No, they don't put it yet. If it happened in New York or let's say America and England, this will be top news, CNN news. But you see it on Facebook, not a farmer dead. And everybody just scrolls about it. Oh, shit, that's another farmer's dead. Farmer's dead. Okay, whatever. Let's go on.
So Jenny, who apparently she's not three sheets to the wind. She hasn't drained all the clippies because she's saying some coherent things. So we need to bring it back. But Jenny says, if it was not for your info, we would never know you know more than what we do. Okay. Maybe she is a little drunk. Just kidding, Jenny. Just kidding.
You do a lot of research yourself because you love South Africa. You would like to make South Africa great again. Change the hat.
Yeah, well, I got to get a hat that says make South Africa great again. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Wouldn't that be awesome? Just be orange, white, and blue then.
There you go.
But that's someone, a new war.
I missed this. Someone said something about two kids on the R21 outside Kempton Park. I think you're talking about last year. Herhat Roos said two young people shot on the R21. Yeah, that was last year if that's the one you're talking about. I remember that the R21. I've driven that road many times. And I can imagine if I broke down thinking about this. But I was also the same place. I think it was there where they were tossing the concrete blocks onto the highway to disable cars. They would drive by, 100 kilometers an hour. And then they were raping men and women. They were gang raping them and robbing them and killing some of them, leaving the others on the side of the road. It's just insane. And how this went on for weeks. And it's kind of like 10, 15 years ago, I remember on the train coming up in Gauteng there. There were people being thrown. There were people just going on the train and grabbing people and throwing them off the train to their death. I mean, that went on for like 2 months. And why can't they solve these problems? But the R21.
Nobody's doing nothing about it.
Exactly. That's the thing. But the R21 thing on Kempton Park, as I recall, that was a young couple who had a black friend with them in their Jeep. I think they had a Jeep and they ran out of petrol. So they ran out of petrol. I think they were like 19, 21 years old, these kids, and their friend. I don't know if they were school chums or if they were university friends, but they were on the R21 outside Kempton Park, and they ran out of petrol, and these clowns came up from the side of the road, and they started harassing them, and then they shot dead the two white kids, and they beat the black kid, and they told him the only reason that they didn't kill him is because he's black. But they killed them because they were white. Why are people with unlicensed, unlawful firearms hanging around the side of a road and then murdering people based on their skin? And that's not racism? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but no, just change, if you change the whole role, change the role, and then you'll see what South Africa is going to do, the government.
No, yeah. Well, as I've said famously on my channel, is that when the Boer monk came up and was an actual threat to the government, I mean, they were talking about assassinating leaders and overthrowing the government. They were a legitimate threat to the sovereignty of South Africa. But when the Boer monk came around, 24 Boer monk members, they had twice as many intelligence agents inside the Boer monk as they had actual Boer monk members. Now, that's a threat that they dealt with in a matter of weeks or months. If they can figure that out, why can't they deal with the domestic terrorism taking place against commercial farmers in particular, yeah, but just people
exactly.
in general?
Exactly.
One has to wonder who's complicit in this at the end of the day. But you've mentioned BLM, so I've just thought I'd put this up, make sure it's clear. We know that BLM stands for Boer Lives Matter. Here in America, it now stands for Biden's Laptop Matters. It's rather unfortunate for the black supremacy group BLM that they picked an abbreviation that you can pick pretty much any phrase for. So I'm not a fan of white or black supremacy groups, whether it's a Klan or Black Lives Matter. If you expect me to take a knee in fealty, you're greatly mistaken. I don't bow before any other human beings. There you go. Guys, you've been fantastic. I've really enjoyed it. I hope that your music continues to do well. I hope that your clothing line catches on. I see that I want some of that kit. I like that jersey or that shirt, and I like the cap. So, but again, I'll have to wait till I come to South Africa to get it. So if I order it,
pop me a call. You have my number now. So yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, so okay, maybe she could leave us some advice about Tresemme. Are we not using enough? I think that's the important point here. Do we need to use more Tresemme? Say that again.
That's probably it.
All right. Well, you guys have been fantastic. Dupreer and his lovely fiance with the amazing hair. Thank you guys so much. Have a pleasant Saturday, Leka Leka Saturday evening, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And cross your fingers, as we say in German, ich drücke die Daumen. You know, cross. Yeah. There you go. Because Tuesday is the fate of the world is on the line Tuesday. So.
Yeah, go Trump. Go Trump.
That's right. Go Trump. Keep America great.
Thanks a lot for the call. Oh, yes.
Oh, I got them all. Dupreer. I got this one. I got the Commander Chief cap. All right. So there you go. Make America great again on the back. I've got that one. The Keep America Great cap. And then I've got this one, which is pretty cool. Now, this is my Trump train. There's a Trump train right there.
I like that one. Yeah, that's cool. The Trump train.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
These hats are all made in America, by the way, not in China. Thought I should mention that. So
yeah.
So made in the USA, right there.
Yes, American made.
Oh, all right. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Before we go, though, I should mention there was a super chat. I don't want to forget that. It was an awesome super chat by Jacques Vint. He said, all this race baiting and crying wolf racism is taken away from real racism. Think we need a great flood to, again, start over. Yeah, it does. You know, the problem is when people use the term so often, they cheapen it. And it's like, you know, you're a racist. Whatever. You know, I mean, that's, you know, I don't believe in that. You can call me that all day. It doesn't mean anything. And that's they've cheapened the term. So anyway, I forgot to mention that super chat. There's an awesome super chat. Thank you for that super chat. All right, guys. Awesome. Okay.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Dupreer, thanks. I'll invite you back on the channel when you got some more interesting hits coming out. We'll give it some more playtime. All right.
For sure. Thank you, Chris.
So looking forward to the Jenny and the Brandy song.
Jenny and the Brandy, yes. Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Take care.
I will. Take care.
All right, folks. That's Dupreer. Van Heerden. Okay. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in today. That was awesome. I really enjoyed that conversation with Dupreer Van Heerden and his fiancée. It was nice of her to hang around. And if you're wondering why I don't keep saying her name, it's because I have a hard time with her name. Dupreer is easy for me, but her name is a little bit more challenging. Anyway, so thanks a lot, folks. Check out his Facebook page. It's below the video right there. You'll find the link. You can also find, I think, an Instagram link as well. And then also, of course, his YouTube, which is a new venture. He doesn't have much in the way on YouTube, but you can listen to his music on there as well. And that's where we play it from. Hans says, verbal diarrhea is one thing. Actual help on the ground is another animal altogether. Yeah, you're right, Hans. Okay. What do you want? You want the 82nd there? I'm not the president. I can't send them. So all I can do is make the president aware of it. Anyway, folks, thanks a lot for watching the channel. And remember, Boer Lives Matter and Biden's laptop matters. And as Big Daddy Liberty says, never trust a commie. And as I like to say, never trust an ANC cadre. because they're coming for you and yours and all that you've got. Anyway, folks, God bless. Thanks a lot. I'm going to go off the channel now, and we'll catch you here on the Night Owls edition later on. It'll be an abbreviated Night Owls edition because I have a lot of work to do for the courses I'm teaching on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. All right, so thanks a lot, folks. Have a good evening. God bless, and thanks for tuning in. And my special thanks to my guest, Dupreer van Heerden. I really enjoyed the stream today. Thanks a lot on the Saturday stream.